P-minus 20. RMXT Studio Number 1, Manhattan, New York. What am I doing? Leisha shot at Clark, still cloaked and entirely under the radars of their group's enemies. You try to put that thing on your neck and you ask what I'm doing? I was only going to put it on just in case, Clark silently communicated to Leisha, defending himself against what felt to him like the firmest rebuke the alien had ever delivered. You didn't have to use the telekinesis to push my hand away. What if the patch had fallen out and they'd seen it? I wouldn't have let it fall, Leisha replied. Godfrey, Emma, and Dan, all hearing Leisha's comments and watching Clark put his left hand into his pocket as though trying to empty the hand of something as subtly as possible, had by now caught on. You were going to deep dive? Dan asked. You brought a red patch? Here? Emma, mindful of how awkward it might look if they all continued to look at each other as intently as they were without talking, faked a cough and then asked the clerk how long the break was expected to last. Across the way, Slater, Cole, and Geller were all lost in their phones and whispering about the live SMMA data which would inform the rest of their performances. I was getting ready to put on the red patch while they weren't paying attention, Clark said, once again at least having the sense not to truly say it out loud. We might have needed it, okay? I wasn't going to use it unless we absolutely did, because I know my eyes would have gone red and people would have known. It was for an emergency. If you had heard one of them thinking something about Piper or about some future hit they're planning, I would have deep-dived to get to the bottom of it, because it would have been important enough to cancel out the problems it would have caused. But I didn't. Nothing happened. No harm, no foul. Emma, satisfied that the trio of opposition panelists weren't paying enough attention to notice anything suspicious, and knowing that the cameras weren't rolling, now turned to glare at Clark more intensely than any of the others. She was furious with the risk he had taken, especially after how carefully they had all made sure their regular telepathy patches were hidden under their collars and would remain so. Most certainly, she and Clark would have this out later. Quite clearly, however, it was a discussion for later. There could be no worse time than when the cameras were rolling and hundreds of millions were watching from around the world, and even without fears of negative consequences, it would have made no sense to waste another second of the time they could utilize so much more positively in holding their enemies to account for the very real crimes they had committed and facilitated. I didn't even suspect it as a possibility, Leisha said to Clark. Or else I would have known. If I had suspected it, my mind would have been alert to your thoughts about it. But I trusted— Save it, Clark said. I know the cost of using that thing. I didn't bring it to be selfish. Let's just get on with this and do what we came here to do, okay? Show these guys up. I'm sorry. There, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I did it behind your back. But you wouldn't have let me do it if you knew, so—
I wouldn't have let you because we don't truly know the cost, Leisha said, particularly if you had used it too intensely or for too long. I didn't interfere to be selfish either, and I wouldn't have let either you or the patch fall to the ground.
A cameraman, counting down from 10, brought everyone back into the moment, taking the group's attention away from Leisha for now and seeing their rivals put their phones away. Emma regretted missing out on a glance of her own at the SMMA data, which could have told her which lines had borne most fruit so far and which topics were perhaps best avoided. With around 50 minutes of the guaranteed hour left, Dan McCarthy began to mull over the prospect of full disclosure. His ability to covertly communicate with his friends, Leisha included, meant that he would never have to decide whether or not to dive into such a final act without clearing it first. And if there was any benefit to the increased commercials count for this specially simulcast episode of Focus 2020, then it was that he could run through everything with his counsel fairly frequently. Before it got to a point where Dan could feel comfortable, far less sensible in revealing anything much about the architect's highly deceptive and indefensibly unethical relationship with the messengers, or indeed the level of hostile suspicion they held for humanity, the group had agreed to test the public mood with some lighter information about the find. SMMA would be their friend, Dan considered. If it was needed, CCTV footage of Phil's murder was also at the group's disposal, as was some data Chip Petrovich had effortlessly obtained from the phones of the men who arrived in Birchwood for something other than a chat.
Amid everything else swirling around this remarkably eventful day, no real attention had been paid to the fact that Chip had been able to cross-reference contact data from the phones with some names in Richard Walker's documents. Not quite to identify the men, but to very decisively and very usefully link them to close-known associates of James West, the Colorado crime lord who gave the orders to Phil's killer before being eliminated himself as a means of protecting the real top dogs when things went wrong. Today, however, there was so much going on that Dan didn't just feel like an hour was insufficient to get to it all, but almost as though an hour was so far from enough that it was an overwhelmingly difficult task to even know where to start. He was unspeakably grateful to have Emma in particular by his side, given both her ability to cut to the heart of an optimal strategy and also the fact that she had done so that very day in arranging a broad plan of action while allowing him to catch up on some seriously overdue sleep. Dan had a feeling that even mentioning the name James West should be enough to let Leisha skim explicit confirmations of guilty association from his target's conscious thoughts, and that moment wasn't far away. After the upcoming Dortolutepe segment, the plan was for a quick shift into talk of Emporion, which was expected to catch Jan Geller in particular completely off guard. This would be when Slater's level of knowledge became clear. Or at least this would have been when Slater's knowledge level became clear, if anything whatsoever about that or any other part of the show had gone to plan. For the several years he had known her, Dan had come to trust, beyond doubt, that Emma was more thorough than anyone else in preparing for any and all eventualities, and that expect the unexpected wasn't just something she said, but also something she took great pains to do. Even Emma, however, could never have expected what came next. Welcome back to Focus 2020, Marion de Klerk said, where we will now hear... Rather than having been interrupted for once, de Klerk's voice trailed off in reaction to a sudden and total darkening of the studio. Some emergency lights flickered on almost immediately, but the surrealness of the moment made everyone uneasy. What? De Klerk yelled, reacting to something in her earpiece. She pushed her chair backwards and ran, fleeing the set she had commanded with relative poise and grace for not just years, but decades. Leisha? Emma asked, silently but urgently. Were you listening in on de Klerk there? What's happening? What did she hear? What the fuck is going on? Clark boomed, out loud, very loud, but without explicitly addressing it to Leisha. The localized power outage had taken every camera offline in any case, leaving black screens on homes around the world. But the biggest news in the world, not just tonight, but quite likely in the history of the world, was still being piped into homes unaffected by the outage. At this moment in time, when the event that would change everything forever was just getting rolling, those viewers, ironically, knew more than the high-profile individuals they had just been watching. Invasion, Valerie Slater shrieked as she looked at her phone. They're here. Emma and Clark reached for their phones at the same time, but Dan remained focused on his alien friend. Not the squadron, Dan asked. I thought they were on your- It's not the squadron, Leisha cut in. He knew this from the reactive details he'd heard into Clerk and Slater's minds, while Emma and Clark now knew firsthand from the live images they had just pulled up on their own phones. William Godfrey, having quietly checked his phone too, rose to his feet while the others, Cole and Geller included, sat in stunned shock. Dan, this is the moment you were born to see, Godfrey said. If they weren't here to talk, we would be dead by now. And they're here because you're here. If I can help, I will, but you're our chief planetary liaison in far more than name. Leisha? Dan gulped, preparing to ask a question to which he already knew the answer in his frightened heart, but which he had to hear outright to fully accept as reality. Who's outside? They are, Leisha replied, so much fear in the words that there was no room for loathing. Dan, it's the architects.